Now let us ask the help of the Lord God for the preaching of His word. Let's pray. O Lord, our God and our fathers, we are going to open up your word. We pray that you may turn our minds and attention away from self, from our self-concerns, and that we may turn and behold Jesus, our Lord. Oh, Blessed Spirit, help us to concentrate, to stay not only awake but alert, that you may speak to us and that we may be ready to obey. Hear us, we pray, for we pray in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Well, dear friends, let us turn back to Isaiah chapter 50. We're going to consider very briefly verses 4 to 9. And this is the so-called third servant song in Isaiah. And you follow and listen carefully. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. And this is the servant speaking. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. Verse 5, the Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. Verse 7, for the Lord God will help me, therefore I will not be disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know what, and I know that I will not be ashamed. He is near who justifies me, who will contend with me. Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near me. Verse 9, surely the Lord God will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? Indeed, they will all grow old like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Dear friends, I do not know how many times I read and ponder upon this prophecy by our Lord Jesus about himself. And the more I read and consider this passage, the more I'm fascinated by it in ever so many ways. Just now we mentioned in Isaiah there are these seven songs, starting with Isaiah chapter 42. I don't know whether you've ever asked yourself, what does God want me to do? If you have, the answer is clear. Isaiah chapter 42, the Father says, behold, my servant whom I uphold. The one thing God wants us to do is to behold His servant, to pay attention to Christ Jesus, our Lord, to have our mind fixated on Him. In the second servant song, Isaiah chapter 42, our Lord Jesus Himself says, listen, O coastlands, to me. Our Lord Jesus says at the end of the world, to the coastlands, to the islands, oh, you listen to me. And here, in the third servant song in Isaiah chapter 50, the Lord Jesus himself reveals to us about his daily devotion, what it was like in his daily devotion, especially his morning devotion. As I traveled in China and Hong Kong and have opportunity to speak with God's people, we got into a spiritual conversation, and it's so evident that, among other things, the one thing God's people need is to recover and maintain their daily devotion. I've talked with brothers and sisters, and some of them shared with me almost in tears, "Pastor, it is so hard to maintain daily devotion. I work so hard. I have to spend so many hours in traveling, the pressure of work. Oh, I've been trying to maintain daily devotion, but it is so hard. And my heart went out to such people. They tried and maintained it against much difficulties. Others have long given up their daily devotion." Yes, as I talk with those people, as I move around, those people do work very, very hard. We think easy in Australia, but people in those places, they're very hardworking, efficient, and it's really hard when you are tired and worn out to maintain daily devotion. George Muller, a great man of faith in the 19th century, he did a lot of ages and preaching and so on. And he had, as he shared with his readers, a commitment to make sure that every day he would go to bed early so that he could get up early and have a good time of worship of the Lord. He maintained as an iron discipline, making sure that he would not get too tired. He said, "If I got too tired, I can't have a good time of daily devotion." Now, what is daily devotion? Daily devotion consists of two things: prayer and the learning of God's word. It's not enough that we just pray. It's not enough that we just read or study God's word. We need both. The study, the learning of God's word, and prayer. And friends, it is to be done daily. As I talk with these brothers and sisters, some of them are saying, "Well, I can't have daily devotion. Maybe once or twice a week, maybe a couple of times a month." Well, friends, if you do not maintain a daily devotion, you slip into once or twice a week, or once or twice, or once and two times a month, soon you'll become nothing. Is it not true? Peter, in his first letter, in the second chapter, he says something like this. In verse 1, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." You notice a number of things there. He says, first of all, negatively, we are to lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, or evil speaking. Dear friends, if you and I are harboring bitterness and anger and jealousy and any unworthy thought in our minds, we are not able to desire God's word. It's impossible. It's very strange, isn't it? But true. As the saying goes, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. It's absolutely true. Over the world, down for the ages, the Bible will keep us from sin, but sin will keep us from the Bible. So negatively, we have to lay aside all malice and deceit and hypocrisy. And positively, we are going to be like newborn babes, desiring the pure milk of the Word. But when was the last time we see a newborn babe? Not too long ago, in a congregation, thanks be to God. And you know, a normal, healthy newborn babe just want one thing. I want mother's milk and my nappy change. Right? But not all newborn babies are healthy. I know of babies who were not feeling well. I know something of the pains and the suffering of the mother. And that's why I often ask mothers who have just been given birth, how's the babe feeling? Or suppose the mother should go to a baby health center, the nurse will ask, well, how's the baby feeling? If the mother should say, well, the baby's feeding 240 mil. And the nurse asks, 240 mil per week? Suppose a mother should say, no, not 240 mil per week, but 240 mil per day. Well, the nursing system will be concerned. The baby's not feeding enough. It's not well. We want a newborn child to be hungering and thirsting for milk, and we want that child to gain weight, to be growing. Now, friends, let me ask you, how is your feeling of God's word? Do you find yourself to be hungering and thirsting for God's word? Have you any appetite for God's word? And let me ask you, are you growing spiritually? Now, some of us people here, we've been Christian for many years. Can you honestly say I've grown spiritually? I know that it's true. I've grown. Now, friends, we should be saying that. And to grow spiritually, we must be feeding upon God's word. If you and I have tasted that the Lord is good, if our spiritual life is healthy, normal, we'll be desiring God's word. Now, before we go any further, let me clarify. You and I don't earn our salvation by daily devotion. Now suppose you pray and read your Bible faithfully, diligently every day. You earn no merit with God. We don't earn our salvation by daily devotion. Not at all. But friends, you're most likely to be saved if you put yourself in the way of blessing. by conscientiously maintaining a daily devotion. Some of you may be saying this morning, I'm not sure about my spiritual standing with God. If you're not sure, put yourself out. Make it as a discipline to seek the Lord diligently, faithfully, daily, pondering upon His Word, praying. These are the means of grace, and most likely, you'll be saved. I can share this with you. I've worked in church. I never really had the practice of daily devotion, but somehow later on, I did succeed to start and maintain daily devotion. But when I first started doing that, I don't think I was a true believer yet. I wasn't truly converted. But by and by God's grace, I came to know the Lord. And friends, if you have tasted that the Lord is good, and you maintain this spiritual discipline, the promise is that you will grow leaps and bounds. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 again, as newborn babes beside the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. A newborn child that is feeding well grows. And the mother's happy, the child's happy, the father's happy, the grandparents are happy, everyone is happy. Right? Now physically, we don't keep on growing. We can observe that when a child is born, if he's feeding well, he grows quickly, fast, and then after a few years, after 10, 14, 15 years, the person grows to become an adult, and then the person stops growing physically. You don't grow taller at the age of 30 or even 25, isn't it? No, you wish. You can't. That's physical. But spiritually, friends, if we are a normal, healthy Christian, we never stop growing. I've been blessed to know older Christians in the days of my youth. And I watched them growing. I remember one man who is now with the Lord. I won't mention his name, but I was a very young man. He was somewhat older, and I watched him grow. I watched him grow in the midst of the bereavement of his young wife. I watched him grow in his kindness, in his relationship with people, in his knowledge, in his discernment. Even in the last article he wrote, struggling with terrible illness, there was that charm and cheerfulness. A normal Christian keeps on growing, and it's beautiful. It's lovely. Now let us turn back to Isaiah chapter 50. Verses 4 to 7. Verses 4 to 9, I should say. Verses 4 to 9. Now, here the Lord Jesus tells us about his morning devotion. And surely that is given to us as our example. You look at it. When is the time for daily devotion? Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. This is servant speaking in the middle of it, or toward the end. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The time for daily devotion is in the morning. I ponder upon this before I preach it time and again. Because, I don't know about you, many ancient people have difficulty to get up early in the morning. I don't know why. Especially younger Asian people. They just can't get up early in the morning. Every time I went to Hong Kong, I got this frustration. You know this time gap? Sydney is about 2 or 3 hours advance ahead of the time in Hong Kong. And because the body clock and so on, I tend to get up very early in Hong Kong. And then I have to wait until something like 11 o'clock in Hong Kong for the shop to open. It's really frustrating because I got up at about 4 o'clock in Hong Kong and waited for the breakfast and then waited for the bookshop to be open. I have to wait for so long. Well, those people don't go to work until maybe rather late. And I ponder when I was preaching in that sort of places whether I should say this. Am I adding a burden upon people who find it difficult to get up early to go to work, let alone to have daily devotion? But as I look at scripture, I can't escape. And I have to tell the truth. You listen to what Jesus did. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. That is an example of our Lord. After a whole day of work, healing the sick, preaching, he got up a long while before daylight. And he was sleeping with his disciples in a cramped and crowded place. And he would go to a lonely place to pray. I cannot withhold from you, out of consideration, some of you may find it very difficult to get up early in the morning to say what the Bible says. The time for daily devotion is morning. Spurgeon says, 1 hour in the morning with the Lord is better than 2 hours at night. And that is true. After a whole day of work, rubbing shoulders with the world is very difficult to concentrate, to listen to God and pray. The time for daily devotion is in the morning. And the attitude we have, or we should have, in our daily devotion is that we should be a learner, a disciple. Go back to Isaiah chapter 50. Now, I wonder just now when we read it again, have you not noticed the repetition of this phrase, the Lord God? In just 6 verses, the Lord God is repeated 4 times. Let me find it for you. In Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear. Verse 7. The Lord God will help me. Verse 9. Surely the Lord God will help me. And then every time the Lord is in small letters, that means it's not Lord in terms of Jehovah, the covenant name of God, but Lord in terms of Master. Master. And here our Lord Jesus says, God is his master. He's my master. He's my God. And my dear friend, just in case any one of you may be saying this in your heart, well, look, this is Jesus' devotion. I can't be like Jesus. I'm only a human person. I'm weak. I can't be like Jesus. Now, if you say that, I have to say this. It's wrong. You know why? Because when we believe in Jesus, we receive Christ to be our Lord and Savior. And the reason that we are saved, that God has saved us, is that we should be like Christ. And the Lord Jesus here is speaking in his humanity. In his divinity, has no need for daily devotion. He's always God the Son. He's always having face-to-face conversation with God. It is in his humanity, in his human flesh, that he has this daily morning devotion. Like that. We are saved to be like Jesus. He's the pattern and the standard for our life. Okay, coming back. So the attitude that the Lord Jesus has here is that he is a disciple. Listen to what he says. Verse 4, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned. The learned there means he's learning. I'm learning. I'm learning God's word. Still at verse 4, he awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. I'm a disciple. He's an apprentice. And the attitude the Lord Jesus has is that of obedience to the Father. Look at verse 5. The Lord God has opened my ear. I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. The Lord Jesus is willing, through his listening to God the Father, to suffer. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheek to those who insulted me. Imagine this, my dear friends. Our Lord Jesus learned Isaiah as a child in the synagogue. He learned this passage, maybe he was 6 years old, 8 years old, 10 years old, 12 years old, and he was immersed in this prophecy. And he was determined to obey God, even to the cross, even to death. He was committed to obey God, even to suffer. And here, he is consciously dependent on God. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear. And the result of his daily devotion, morning devotion, is that he has become useful to God by becoming a blessing to others. Look at verse 4 again. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. As we read and study the four Gospels, one thing is so clear, isn't it? Our Lord Jesus knows exactly how to comfort people. There's a passage in the four Gospels that the early church found it very nervous to accept. And that is the case of the woman caught in adultery. And the Pharisees brought this woman to Jesus and asked him what should be done to her. And Jesus let her go and said to her, sin no more. Why the early church should be so nervous about this passage is this. The early church, they lived in a very immoral environment. And they knew as God's people they should be holy. When they had that passage before them, they said, would this not encourage our girls and women to be immoral? If a woman caught in the very act of adultery should be let go by the Lord so easily without any punishment, then our girls and women may learn from this and say, oh, well, I can do anything. I can be unfaithful to my husband. I will forgive him. That's fine. And the early church was nervous about that. But the Lord Jesus knew exactly that would not be the case for this woman. And she did not need to be beaten up for her obvious unfaithfulness to her husband. Our Lord Jesus knew how to speak a word in season to him who was weary. How did he learn that? By his morning after morning devotion. He learned from his father. The father gave him wisdom to speak. And then our Lord Jesus had confidence in his suffering. In verse 7, listen, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore I will not be disgraced. Therefore I've set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. He is near who justify me, who will contend with me. Let us stand together, who is my adversary. Let him come near me. Surely the Lord God will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? You see the confidence of our Lord Jesus. In his morning devotion, he listened to his father. His father told him how to speak word in season to those who are weary. The father commanded him that he should suffer. Even the death of the cross. But the Lord Jesus learned from his father that the father will deliver him. The father will justify him. The father will raise him up from the dead. He's confident. He's confident that the Lord God will vindicate him and save him. That is what he learned in his daily devotion. And friends, as we learn to listen to the Lord God morning by morning, every day, we shall be strengthened and equipped to face anything in life. Well, before I finish, let me give you some practical suggestions to help you with your daily devotion. Let us learn to read the Bible with empathy. I don't know whether you have this feeling. Well, I come to the Bible, I don't find the Bible interesting. Well, let me give you some suggestions. Pick up, if you are to start a discipline of daily devotion, one of the four Gospels. Alright, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, any one of them. Start with that. I don't advise you to start with Isaiah because it's difficult, okay? Understand that. You start with the easiest. Start with the four Gospels. And then try to read the Gospels, stories, and accounts with sympathy and empathy. Have you not noticed that so much of the Bible is narrative, stories, history, people? Why didn't the Lord God give us the Bible from its beginning to the end? Thou shalt not, or thou shalt, like the Ten Commandments. A part of the Bible is like that. But much of the Bible is story and narrative. Because the Lord God is stooping down to help us to appreciate His Word. And there's so much drama in the Bible, in those narratives. And you and I have to learn to read the Bible with a bit of sympathy, with empathy. Let me give you some example. Remember that story? The father who had a 12-year-old daughter, and she was his only daughter, and she was severely sick, and the father went to ask Jesus to come to heal his daughter. But the Lord Jesus was delayed because a woman delayed him for some time, and by the time they got there, the child was dead. My friend, just have a bit of sympathy for this father. Just imagine you were that father. You only got one child. The child was 12 years old. And Jesus delayed in coming to heal that child. And the child is dead. It's not difficult, isn't it? Another gospel story. Remember Mary and Martha? Their brother Lazarus was sick, and they sent a messenger to Jesus, asking Jesus to come. And again, Jesus delayed for a few days. By the time Jesus got there, he was dead in the tomb for 4 days. Can you have some sympathy for Mary and Martha? Can we not imagine how they struggle with their faith? Why didn't Jesus come? It's a whole week. We asked him to come and he didn't come. And now our brother's dead. All hope is gone. They really struggle with their faith, isn't it? And you remember, in Genesis chapter 22, the Lord God asked the elderly Abraham to offer up his only begotten son Isaac to him. And this is how it goes. Genesis chapter 22, verse 2. You just listen, okay? This is the Lord God speaking to Abraham. It goes like this. God said, "Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." It seems God is stabbing the hearts of Abraham. Not just once, but twice and three times. Just try to feel how Abraham would feel. So first of all, try to read the Bible with a bit of empathy. Try to appreciate the drama. And then let me give you another suggestion. If you read the Bible, you find it hard to concentrate. Try read it aloud. I'm not a medical person, but for those of you who are, you can tell us all the details about how this actually works, even in terms of our body, with our brains. When we read anything aloud, we understand much more, we retain much more. It just helps. If you find it difficult to concentrate, read the Bible aloud. I'm not asking you to preach. I'm not asking you to read the Bible aloud in church. Just read it aloud in a soft voice yourself. Thirdly, pray over it. Friends, we must learn to enter into the drama of Scripture, to appreciate what God is saying, and then we pray over it. When we learn how to empathize with Scripture, praying over the text is not difficult. For example, just now we mentioned about God's command to Abraham to offer up his son. And then we heard of how Mary and Martha would struggle in their faith in Jesus. We can turn that into prayer. Lord, you ask your people in days gone by to trust you that much, to offer to you that much. And now I'm asking by you to trust you for this little. And I'm not willing. I'm fearful. Lord, forgive me. And you help me. You know, it's not difficult, isn't it? Just honest. Pray over Scriptures. Another suggestion. This is second last. Write down. Perhaps on a notebook, some of the verses or phrases, words in the Bible that you find it helpful. Our Lord Jesus won't have a notebook, but we can have a notebook. We can write it down. Let me share with you. I find it really helpful. If I got a notebook and I just write down, not a whole verse, but a phrase, a word, write down, revise it, is so helpful. What our Lord Jesus did was he wrote down in his own heart. The last thing, let me suggest this to you. When we go back to Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 to 9, there's one thing so obvious. Our Lord Jesus is sharing with us his experience of morning devotion, how the Lord God has helped him, and how he has been strengthened by the Lord God. He shared with us. He let us know about his practice of morning devotion. He led us into his private place, so to say. Share what the Lord God has spoken to you. Personally, in a spontaneous, natural way, you're talking with a friend. The person may not even be a Christian. But if you are soaked up in Scripture, just share. Bible truth, Bible words and verses with that person. Or in a Bible study context, we'll share with our friends, oh, last week or the month before, I learned this Bible verse. It's so helpful to me. Shared, and then you'll become a double blessing. Not just a blessing to you, but a blessing to other people. And remember, you and I are meant to be blessings to others. Let's pray. Blessed Lord Jesus, we are so thankful to you that you are willing to let us listen in your inner sanctuary. Oh, you let your disciples overheard your prayer in John 17. And you let us know your practice of morning devotion. Oh God, I pray for the people here that you may stir them up to seek you and your face, that they may know you and that they may grow. Hear us, we pray. In Jesus' name.